This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing.
Greetings for Westmo Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled Not Angels or Demons, and joining me from Oklahoma is the author, Shell Eugene Cox. Welcome, sir, to the program.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
You have a fascinating background, and certainly you've authored and published other books. It also tells me that you're a retired Navy intelligence officer with 30 years of experience, and during that time you led and mentored service members, young adults, junior high, high school age youth. You seem to have a fascination, not a fascination, but a compulsion to mentor others. This book, is it dealing with some of those subject matters that you've come across in your counseling sessions or in your leadership sessions?
Not really. The book deals with, it's a very difficult subject, and it's very politicized and highly passionate in our society today. And the book mainly deals with the community bitterness and the hatred that comes with what is being called as racism today.
Right.
Personally, with the people that I've dealt with, no, I've never had, I don't know, what's the term, counseling type?
Sure.
Or guidance of that with anyone that I've ever dealt with.
Well, that's encouraging. That's actually encouraging.
It is very, yes, sir.
Yeah, this book is a fictional work, though, correct?
It is fictional, but it is based on no kidding real life stuff. I mean, you turn on the news, there it is. You know, I mean, it is a fiction book, but based on stuff that is happening today, and as sad as unfortunate that is, I wish I could explain how the book came about. I almost didn't publish it because of the nature of the book and what is surrounding. It was the second manuscript of the three that I wrote of the books that I did, but it was a third I published, and I almost did not publish it. Until the Lord just made an opportunity for me to do so with Westmo Press. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it and see what happens.
Well, it is a tough subject, and it's one that is polarizing to some people. Others are just confused. They don't know, you know, what in the world is going on when they look around them at societal influences. You have 282 pages. That's a fairly ambitious obligation to make to yourself and to, as you said, your Lord, or to the Lord. There was an inspiration behind this. Who's your main character? Is it Patrick or is it someone else?
Well, there are basically two main characters. It's Patrick, who he's basically a, I don't want to use the term, he's definitely not retired, a minister let go of his position due to alcohol dependency.
Mm-hmm.
And the second main character, his name is Franklin. A much older African-American, retired colonel from the Army. And those are your two main characters of the book. Now, I guess the way, and it's really kind of hard to explain, there are main characters, but there's several of the characters that play a lot of main parts. And that's just really kind of story kind of plays out. But those are the two main ones. And the story itself centers around the community bitterness that we see every day. I think the objective of the book is to focus on forgiveness and redemption in many, many ways, second chances, and looking past basically what society tells us that we're supposed to see, looking further than that. I think that was really part of the motivation behind the story, I guess you could say.
Yes, that's a very thoughtful approach, of course, and it sounds like it's tempered. It's even tempered, even temperamental, if I may use that objective viewpoint. The view itself of 282 pages must have taken a long time. Did you take these characters and write an outline for them as you began this writing process, or did you work strictly from inspiration of the moment?
Well, it's interesting you say that. I did not write an outline. really, it is hard to explain, and I've had to explain this to a lot of people, so I'll do the best that I can to do this, to explain it to you.
Right.
The first of the three that I wrote took about 7 or 8 months. It was on and off because I didn't really realize what was happening. This was the second manuscript. Took me 4 months.
Hmm.
I opened up the laptop, and I typed it, and it was over. The third manuscript took me 6 months.
Amazing.
To really try to describe how this one, and all three of them that I wrote, actually, to really try to describe it is just the best way to do it this way. Imagine watching a movie like Top Gun, or pick a movie that you like. You're watching a movie in your mind, and you're trying to type as fast as you can what is going on in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That is the experience that I had with this book and the other two that I wrote. It was like, it was in my mind, and I'm typing as fast as I can going through the scenes. And it basically happened to all three of the books that I wrote at the same time. This book was very difficult because, as you said, polarizing, very polarizing. There are several scenes in this book that, as I was typing, I would, for example, there is a scene where the Ku Klux Klan is involved, and I typed out the scene and I erased it. And I said, I can't put that. That's too, like you said, polarizing.
Too
it's
much.
Too, it's just too difficult. Well, then I cannot explain it. I typed it again, and then I erased it. And this happened 5 or 6 times. And people look at me and I explain it to them, and their eyes are so big. And I literally had to step away from the manuscript. I can't explain it. I had to step away from the manuscript, and I had to take a breath for about a week or two, and I had to turn and go back, and I retyped the entire scene.
Wow.
And I could not understand. I prayed about it and said, I don't understand what's going on here. But what happened was, at the end of that scene came one of the most pivotal moments of the entire manuscript. And it was then that I realized why that was important. And to, again, like I said, as quickly as I can to answer that question, I cannot explain to you how this came about, or how it was just like watching a movie in my mind and typing it out. And that is when I realized that what was going on inside of me, where it came from, because I understand a lot, authors have, they have different motivations. Some of them go to a cabin and write. Some of them, they sit down and try to write. That's not what happened here. Mm. I didn't try to write anything. It wasn't the intent.
Right.
I opened up my laptop and it flowed.
That's inspiring.
It was like that.
It was an inspirational moment then for you.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
And do you feel the readers will also feel that same impulse once they pick up and begin reading this novel?
No doubt in my mind. Those who have read it have come at me and said, wow, where in the world did you get this? Yes.
Wow. Well, I'm saying wow also, and I'm seeing 282 pages. I would not have the focus and discipline to complete a novel of this magnitude. I think my inspiration and creativity would probably stop at page 2 or 3. I might get that many. I've talked to some authors, though, it's taken them 18 years to get their novel published, not because they didn't want to or hadn't finished. It just took them that long to finish. So that in itself is sort of a miracle that you finished it really in a 3 or 4 month period. Did you go back and do rewrites, or did you just feel like, I think what I've written is probably adequate, or maybe even at the top of inspiration, I don't think I can improve on it?
No, there was no rewrites. Because if I erase something, or it's interesting you ask that, because if I erase something, like I said, I had to put it back in.
Interesting.
If I started to write something and I thought ahead of it, like, I'm going to add this, this is really a great idea, or I would try to add something, it wouldn't work.
Interesting.
I'd have to get rid of it.
Wow.
It's the strangest thing. If I tried to add something myself, it didn't work. If I just flowed with what was going on in my mind and tried to write it down and just wrote as fast as I could, that's how it worked. What I did try to do, and I definitely would not advise this for a lot of new authors, I tried to edit it myself, you can have the best book story in the world, but if it isn't written somewhat professionally, it ain't going anywhere. So just going back and just trying to edit it the best way I could, that's what I did. But as far as rewriting anything, that did not happen.
Well, phenomenal. Your action scene, you've already created one. Were there several of them? And would this visual thing that's going on in this movie in my mind. Is it going to keep me entertained and work for a younger audience as well as an older audience?
Absolutely. Not only will it keep you entertained, it's also very emotional. It will latch onto you. There are moments that you will become emotional. Another thing that I can, maybe if you don't mind, give me a second to explain it. Something that, again, I've never experienced before. As I'm writing this book, I am able to feel the emotion of the character. Now, that is that I'd never experienced. If the emotion was anger or rage, I felt it. If the emotion was pain and torment or suffering from a historical situation in their life, I felt it. And I literally, several times writing the book, well, I mean, when I'm writing it, I'm in tears in certain aspects of it. I'm like, I cannot believe, for example, this feeling. And it will capture you, but it will also tug at you. This is, like I said, this is dealing with real time stuff, real emotions. It may be a fictional book, but these they're based on real people, real feelings, and real hurt, regardless of where you're at. So, absolutely, yes, sir.
And is it contemporary as far as time frame and also location? Where is it located primarily?
Primarily, it's out of St. Louis, Missouri. St. Louis and Ferguson, Missouri. Yes, it is very contemporary. You would probably open up and be like, oh, gosh, this is going on now.
Oh, boy.
Yes, it is.
And I'm guessing you're assembling a crew and planning to do a movie or a series on this, maybe. I don't know. Is that your hope?
Considering that in my mind it was a movie playing out and I'm trying to keep up with it. Oh, I wish there was a way I could do that.
Right.
I'm not aware. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I'm just going to say it may happen. It sounds like a very exciting book and certainly one that's contemporary and one perhaps with a message that's needed. What is the underlying message you feel floated to the surface on this?
The underlying message is basically this. What we are seeing, that what society wants us to see, what people of society want us to see, is racism and bitterness. What the underlying message is, that is not what the problem is. The problem is somebody shaking the jar, so to speak, somebody creating the problems and making us believe that it's worse than what it is for some purpose that is beyond our understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And Franklin and Patrick, the two main characters, find themselves in the middle of that. And basically it's through God's love and understanding that they don't determine what that presence is that is causing it, but they have found a way through their community to find forgiveness and redemption and try to help start pushing that. They realize something's going on. It is never determined. They don't ever realize it, but they find themselves smacked in the middle of it. And it's just basically the Lord trying to lead them through it and lead them out of it and getting past that. If that's really the best way I could do it.
Well, it's a fascinating journey, what you've described. And because it is sort of, at least your background is faith-based, do you feel like the reader is going to be overwhelmed by your message, or are they going to just embrace it in its general context? I mean, you didn't write it as necessarily a preachy novel necessarily, but you did write it with a desire to get a message across. Do you feel like it's neutral enough that even an agnostic could read this and get something out of it?
I do. It is faith-based and absolutely is faith-based. And you know, and I want to be careful how I answer this because you point out, I think, an obvious thing about it.
Yes.
It is faith-based. And there is the message for me in the book is, it's about Jesus. I mean, it's what it is. That's what it is. It's about him and finding the redemption and the forgiveness and battling these things through him, no matter what that is. So yes, that might be overwhelming for someone who doesn't have a relationship with him. However, I do believe in my, now that you actually mentioned that yes, an agnostic or even, you know, an atheist or no matter what religion you are, can pick that up and say, wow, I get this.
Yeah, the story is strong enough to stand on its own merits. And from what you've described, maybe these characters, will they return in a follow-up novel, or are you thinking of that far ahead?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't know, because I wasn't supposed to write, I don't know how to say this. I wasn't going to write anything. I was never going to be a writer. I tried my hand at writing a Christian autobiography in 2007, right. And I said never again because it was crazy. And so these three came about, and I wasn't even trying to write a book. I just sat down and started typing. When the third manuscript of the three that I wrote, when I hit period, and that last sentence is like the faucet turned off, so to speak. There was nothing there.
Interesting.
So if I tried to write something, I couldn't, because that motivation that I had for those, including the book, Not Angels or Demons, it's just not there.
Fantastic story. It sounds again like it's an inspired moment in your life, and perhaps one that will be repeated in the future, especially if this is well received. The title of the book again is Not Angels or Demons. My guest author, Shell Eugene Cox. Where do we get copies of this, Shell?
Well, right now it is on Amazon, and there are several websites that are selling it. I am not a well-known author at this time. I have reached out to different places like Mardell Christian Bookstore. Not there yet. So mm-hmm. As of right now, they are on several sites like Amazon and booksellers, and they're definitely online.
Do you have a website developed yet?
It is right now. It is Shell Cox, Shelcox, author.com. It is currently being updated because it was temporarily hacked, and I have to fix it.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't be laughing about that. I'm in the media business. I know how that works. It happens to me occasionally also. Shell, thank you for sharing your story and the inspiration behind this book, Not Angels or Demons. And I think it sounds like a book that has a lot of intrigue, excitement, and certainly a wonderful message that you are portraying through the characters. Thank you for writing it and sharing it and having the courage to do so, because it is a very complex and difficult subject for many people to digest. But you've taken it on, and I wish you well. Shell, I pray that this book becomes a bestseller for you and that we get to hear from you in the future. And maybe some person with a lot of courage will put it into perhaps a movie treatment, because it sounds like it's that kind of book. Thank you, Shell, for joining me and sharing your story.
Thank you, sir, for having me. God bless.
My pleasure. For Indie Book Publishing, Westbow Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing. Join us again.